All right, enough of that. I'm in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, I need to pick it up at about verse 12. We'll read down 12 down through verse 14. We probably won't get much further than that today, but we'll try. And as we've been teaching our way through this verse by verse is always a good way to approach the Bible for any pastor, evangelist, teacher, because it lets you cover everything, and somebody can't say, well, he just hobby horsing over there. No, it's just where I'm at. And there are pastors that teach all the way through the books. I've taught all the way through the book of Genesis in my career. I've taught all the way through the book of Daniel, Revelation, a number of books. I can't even remember all the books, but there's 66 of them. I haven't taught them all. I don't know if I will in my lifetime. But anyhow, that's our approach to 1 Peter and 2 Peter as it was with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. There are still some books back there on that I've written on 1 and 2 Timothy. They're available. I will say this. I'm almost into donation mode. I think that's a better way to go. Somebody has been gracious enough to pay for every book I've printed, so sent me money, sent me a check, put this toward the book account. So those two or three books back there on the table, if you didn't get one because you saved your money for gas instead of something else, sister, I understand. Take a book, and I'll get some more. So that's how it'll be. And we're working on 1 Peter right now. We're going to put it more in a pamphlet form, a little cheaper paper, glossy cover. It'll be a series of the lessons, and I'm going to try to make that free to every student in the class, and you'll have a little pamphlet on 1 Peter, and 2 Peter will be to follow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore? Every time he says wherefore, now, this is the second one he said last week. We were in verse 10, or 2 weeks ago, and he said in verse 10, wherefore the rather. And it's always in reference to a few things he's just said. And it makes you go back and review because you probably missed what he said, or you got it, but you know what I'm saying? You didn't really comprehend it, didn't come into full focus. So we got verse 10, verse 11. Now verse 12, he says, wherefore, so he's referring back again, so let's try to check him out here. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. And I want to read through verse 14. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Let me stop there. Now, we've already prayed, and I thank you for the prayer, for the Sunday school hour and the service. But let me say this, was verse 12. He says, wherefore, and I'm going to refer back, and I'll give you at least one, two, three, four, five things that he's referencing that he just said that you might not have picked up, but we'll look at them this morning. But he says this, I will not be negligent. That's another one of those $10 words. He's not going to neglect his responsibility. He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. So the lesson this morning is going to be about the responsibility of a teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, somebody in the position that has the responsibility to teach the Word of God, and he simply is shouldering the responsibility because he says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, and he wants us to remember something. You know, it's real easy to forget things. The older I get, the worse it is. I can lay something down, walk away from it, and can't remember where I put it and why I put it. Or I had a phone call the other day. They were helping me with my computer problems. I had a couple computers and working through some glitches. And I just had that computer out, had it open, shut it back, laid it down. And they called me and said, let me go get my computer. You know, I couldn't find that computer. I couldn't find it. I was embarrassed. I couldn't remember where I put it. And I haven't went any place. I'm in my office, in my home. And so I went back in the office. I said, just take a deep breath. I sit down in the chair, and I sat there. I closed my eyes. I opened my eyes, look around. There was that computer laying on the top shelf right there, right where I'd put it. I just couldn't remember. We do the Word of God the same way. We do the things of life the same way. And as you get older, it gets worse. There is a great need for people, teachers, pastors, preachers, to teach, I hate to say it, in a repetitious manner, because that's how we stay afloat. You might say, oh, okay, I need to be diligent. That was one of our vocabulary words a few weeks ago. I need to be diligent in the things of God. So he's not neglecting to put them in remembrance of these things. And when he says these things, all of a sudden our mind goes, what things? What's he talking about? What did he just say? So we're going to go back just for a moment. This is a great responsibility for any pastor, and most pastors fail in this responsibility. Having pastored 18 years myself, then been kind of an assistant associate pastor 13 of the more years, there's quite a few years, I feel a great responsibility. I say, well, you preached that once. Yeah, I'm going to preach it again. You say, why? We didn't get it. And I read a story one time, a guy come in to hold a revival, and he got John 3:16 out, and he preached it the first night. Next night, preached the same thing. Next night, preached the same thing. People said, hey, are you ever going to go anywhere with this thing? He said, yeah, when some of you get saved, I'm going to preach it till you start getting saved. And about the fifth day of him preaching, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know the verse, there about four or five people got saved. They extended the meeting, went another week, and he began to preach. You say, what happened? Well, people just don't get it sometimes. Amen. So here, this responsibility, causing all that will hear to remember what the Bible has to say. Number one, verse one, did you catch this? Simon Peter, a servant, he said, wherefore? So he's referring back to what he just said. An apostle Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, I got the verse, but what I believe he wants to emphasize is the faith, the precious faith. Sometimes we forget and we move far away from the very fact that the faith that we enjoy in this scripture in our salvation is precious. You say, what makes anything precious? There's no other faith like it. Faith in the economy is not like faith in God. Faith in your in the government is not like faith in your God. Faith in anything you could, the pew you sit on is not like the faith you put in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's the difference? There's a faith that comes from God, which is spiritual. That's the faith that the world can't get a hold of. They've got faith in the economy, faith in that their car will start, faith that their refrigerator won't fail, faith in all kinds of things. But they don't have faith in God. And that faith, if you want a verse on it, is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave his life for me. That's a different kind of faith. So when Peter says, I want to bring this to your remembrance, say, what are you doing this morning, Brother Phil? Bringing this to your remembrance. The faith that you enjoy is precious. Say, well, what makes something precious? There's no other like it. We talk about precious jewels. If you have a diamond, I don't have one. I've got some gold. Even gold is precious. A wife is considered a ruby. And it's like a precious stone. It's rare. A good wife is like a precious. Say, what makes it precious? It's rare. And so here, the faith, he says, I want you to bring to your remembrance the precious faith. Look at verse 3. He says, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The thing I see in verse 3 is power. First, we saw the precious faith. You need to remember that. Number two, you need to remember the power. Divine, it's from God, given to us. You realize God gives you some power? Oh, I just don't feel like I got any power at all. You do. Acts chapter 1. Wait ye here till you be endued with power from on high, that ye might be witness to me. And he gives the child of God, the saved person, a power to be a witness to somebody. You say, what is that? That's something we got to bring back to our remembrance. We forget what kind of power we got. And that power is directly related to the Word of God. And I'll talk about that in a minute, but that's something we keep forgetting. We walk in all timid and scared when it's time to talk to somebody, not realizing, not remembering that we have a divine power imparted to us to be a witness. I get out about every Saturday someplace, And I'll take a handful of tracks as I go, because I know this, I'm going to talk to somebody. Maybe more than one. If I'm in the nursing home, wherever I'm at, and I couldn't go to the nursing home this week, my mother has COVID. So she's doing well, though, by the way. And but I generally get up there and I get to see some of this. This Saturday, I went to town, I did something, and I went to a flea market. No, yes. They had a book table. I got a bunch of books. I'm studying and I picked up some books. But it gave me an opportunity. Somebody said, oh, you're getting these religious books. I said, yeah, by the way, I got a track here. Let me give you a track and tell you how to get saved. You say, you do that? Well, yeah. Say, why? Because there's been a divine power imparted to you. People will listen to you as you give them. Now, some people are so given over to everything else, they might not. And yes, they might fold it, tear it up, and throw it down. But when you hand somebody a gospel tract in all sincerity and say, hey, I'd like you to read this. I got saved when I was 12 years old. I'm 72, going on 73, and I'm still saved today. He's a great God. And they look at you like, oh, okay. Oh, you a preacher or something? Yeah, thanks for asking. And give them a tract. And you say, what is that? Because we have a divine power, so the faith is precious. There's that power. Look, if you would, at verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. He says, not only is there precious faith, even could I say the power of God is precious too, but the word isn't there. But the word is here in verse 4, the precious promises. You know what we forget? The promises of God. We get out there and live in the world and you say, well, what are you doing? I'm causing you to remember. You say, why? Once in a while we need to be fortified. Once in a while we need to be refurbished. Once in a while we need to lift it up. Once in a while we need to have the word of God given to us. And he says here, there's some promises in the word of God given to the child of God that this lost world doesn't have. They can have them if they get saved, but they don't have them. But I'm not talking about the lost crowd. I'm talking about the saved crowd right now. Do you know if you're saved by the grace of God, and you may only be saved by the skin of your teeth. Now, in saying that, I mean this. You got saved and that's about it. You don't read your Bible. You don't go to church. Well, everybody sitting here goes to church. Duh. But you know what I'm saying? You'll run across Christians and they'll struggle. And then the next thing you know, they're doubting whether they even got saved or not. And they're like, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I could die and go to hell. Yeah, you could if you're not saved. Amen. You know what takes care of that? Getting into the Word of God and, let me say it, claiming the promises that God gave you. Do you realize he said to you, if you were saved today, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? You say, is that to me? That's to you. Brother, you want something to stiffen you up a little bit, settle you a little in the faith, embolden you to love God and be some kind of a testimony? Brother, find out the promises of God that he has for you. And just one of them is the fact that he moves in, he comforts you, he teaches you, he guides you. Those are all promises that the Holy Ghost of God brings along. But we live a life, could I say, just the normal everyday life. And we forget the promises of God that are to us. You know, when you got saved, he promised you a home in heaven. That may not mean a whole lot if you're 25 years old. May not mean a whole lot if you're 55 years old. You may not even be thinking about it much at 60 years old. But John, I got news for you. When you get 70 plus years, you're thinking about it, Pastor Tom. He said, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. And brother, when you're young, you're thinking about the things of this earth, and somebody needs to make you remember. Somebody needs to teach and preach in a manner that'll cause you to sit back and say, man, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I got a home over there and I'm headed to heaven one of these days. So don't threaten me. The IRS gives you them old letters that says we're going to audit you. Somebody else wants to sue you. You may run across somebody in the street wants to rob you. They may even pull a gun out and say, man, give me your money, I'm going to shoot you. Well, if they're talking to the average Christian, he ain't got no money anyway. And you can look at him and smile and say, man, don't threaten me with heaven. Say, what is that? That's remembering some of the promises of God. It'll help you. It'll embolden you. cause you to want to serve. So the precious faith, the precious power, the divine power that he's given unto us, the precious promises that he gives you. Now watch verse 4 again, because I only got part of that. Whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. I want you to notice that word partakers. If you're saved, you're one of the partakers. Of what? Watch. Of the divine nature. You realize today you have a divine nature? If you're saved? I know, like the Corinthian church, those people, Paul called them carnal, called them babes. Do you know when they got saved, imparted to them was a divine nature? And that divine nature, it really wants a foothold in your life. Say, why? And we forget that when we get saved. We think, well, I'm carnal, sold under sin, you know. I like the world and worldly things. I like the lights. Yeah, well, you know what? There's something that wars against that, and that's the divine nature that's imparted to you. Say, what is that? That's the Holy Ghost of God, a divine nature. You got that thing. You know what Christians forget? They forget when they get saved, the Holy Ghost moves on the inside. He's speaking to you right now saying, yeah, that's me, Abba, Father. Walk with me. I'll walk with you if you walk with me. He says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together, lest they be agreed. You start agreeing with God, you start agreeing with that book, and brother, you realize you're a partaker of the divine nature. You say, well, that's getting a little deep. Well, Peter thought it necessary to not neglect the responsibility to bring back to their remembrance these things, and he uses those words, these things. And so I'm limiting myself to the things he talked about here. Lastly, verse 12, this present truth, because we started in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the, watch it, present truth. Could I say this morning? You have a present truth. It's not necessarily the man of God, although I want to speak truth. But primarily, it's the Word of God. That's the present truth. And you've got this thing to hold. You've got this thing to put in your lap. You've got this thing to sit on the front porch and read a couple passages, or turn the TV down or off and read a couple passages. Say, why? Because Peter thought it was important that we don't forget the truth, the present truth of the Word of God. And I find in my life that when Christians come to me with troubles and issues, a lot of times they're not in the book, they don't read the Bible at all. They don't have any kind of prayer life. And he doesn't mention prayer here. We could have threw prayer in here, and I'm sure he does in another place. And you're going back to the basics. I hate to say this, going back to the basics. You know, if you're a fighter, my boys studied that fighting stuff, and I learned a lot. That's all they wanted to talk about back in the day when they were younger. But they'd say they'd get up a few degrees in this stuff, and then instructor, he was a Christian man, he'd tell them, now look, he said, when you get to doing this, I'm going to always tell you to go back to the basics. You know, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good line of reasoning, and that's how the Bible is. And all Peter is saying here, man, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget who you are in Christ. You're called the Son of God. And I gave you those four things, so that wherefore. So verse 13, as we've dealt with verse 12, verse 13, when we read it, yea, I think it meet. And that's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, there's a responsibility of the man of God not only to bring to remembrance, not to let these things, but to stir up. In another place, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, who was a preacher, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. You say, what is that? It's kind of like Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1 to the prophet of God. Lift up thy voice and cry aloud. See, what he was trying to get the attention of those folks that were there, those people. Over there in another place in the Old Testament, he's always set a watchman on the wall. to watch for the children of God. You say, why? And what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to cry out. Why, you ain't watched three Westerns, and probably every one of them had somebody, you know, watching at night. It's your turn to take night watch. He hand him a rifle, you know, and set him up there on top of the house. And if something happens, he cocks that gun and wham, shoots at him. Okay, everybody's awake. Why, you can't watch any episode of Gunsmoke, and they got carrying a prisoner someplace, you know. And boy, I'm really digressing now. Say, you better stay awake. You take the first watch, I'll take the second watch. Say, what is that? That principle comes from the Word of God. Somebody's watching for your soul. That's what the man of God does. That's what the preacher does. That's what the pastor does. He's watching for your soul. And so don't fall out with him if he says something three or four times over again. It might be God whispered in his ear, you need to tell him about that again. So expect him to preach on the blood at least once or twice a year. Expect him to preach on eternal security at least once or twice a year. Expect him to preach on hell once or twice a year. You see what I'm saying? You say, why? Because he's not going to neglect the responsibility of, as the man of God, to preach and bring back to your remembrance these things. When we forget just how hot hell is sometimes. So down here in verse 13, as long as we are alive. And he was referencing here his final days. When we read verse 13, he's referencing his final days. We are to be stirring up the brethren with our preaching and teaching. Guess what? Pastor Tom may have retired. We were talking this morning and our health issues... We're like typical old people. We come in, how you doing, brother? Oh, pretty good. Can't see out of my left eye today. Yeah, getting mine worked on tomorrow. And blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't see either. And we go through, I got rheumatoid in this leg and arthritis in the other, you know, kidney stones are acting. We've got all these issues, man. And then we self-medicate. You know we do. He said, yeah, I'll take a couple aspirin for that. That'll really help that out. And I said, yeah. I'm drinking stump water right now. They told me that work okay. What? Yeah, but you know what? Even in our old age, losing our teeth and dealing with our rheumatoid arthritis and our bad eyes and our hair falling out, we're still going to try to stir people up to serve the God we love. Say why? We're in it for the long haul. We're in it till death should impart us and dispatch us, if you please. And when you read verse 13, you can't help but notice in verse 13, yea, I think it meet. In other words, yeah, I'm going to meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. I mean, he wasn't planning on being in the tabernacle. Is the body in this tabernacle. And he says, come to stir you up, putting you in remembrance. There's that word again, remember. He said, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep harping on it. I'm going to keep preaching it and teaching. You say, why? People need to hear. Need to be brought back to our senses sometimes. So there in verse 14, he continues the thought, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. He's going to die. Now, I'd be a fool to try to tell you I'm going to live another 45 years. But when I was 40 years old, I wrote in the back of my Bible, I wasn't even 40 yet. I'm not 40 years old yet. And I want to live the best years of my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Those years have about come and gone. I've punched the ticket, the 70 ticket. So the rest of it's downhill from here. So I'd be a fool to try to tell you I'm going to live another 25 years. I'm not going to do it. 70, 80. Wow, man, my mom's 93, and she's wanting to go home now. I'm only 72, about 73. I want to go home now. But until I do, you're going to have to put up with me and telling you about the Lord. So the lesson today is that we might remember. To remember is necessary because we live in a lying world. And we forget just how fragile life is. There's something about the fact, the appointment of death, that'll sober you up. God always, like I said earlier, set a watchman on the wall to watch for our souls. And that's what the pastor, teacher, preachers do. Isaiah 62:6, oh, I wrote it down. I have set watchmen upon the wall, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Boy, that's an admonition. Paul also reminded us in Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. There it is. In other words, stay with it, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now there he's bringing to their remembrance, look, your people, you've been saved, you're people of good works, have some good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And brother, that I would say not only to the church and saved folks, that might be beneficial to anybody that could hear that. Amen. So death is a great motivator. There's two or three great motivators. Love is a great motivator. Fear is a great motivator. But death is a great motivator. And here he's talking about his death. The apostle being set upon the work tells us what makes him earnest in this matter. Even the knowledge he had, not only that he must certainly, but also that he must shortly put off this tabernacle, this body. So the body is but the tabernacle of the soul and is soon destroyed. Now, when you really get your mind wrapped around that, you'll be trying to redeem the time because the days are evil. Amen. As at night we put off our clothes, I don't think there's anybody here that sleeps in their clothes. We good? Now, I know my mom does. She told me she did. I said, Mom, you sleep in your clothes. Why? Well, I can't get them off. I mean, she's 93. She's got dementia and Alzheimer's and everything else. Now she's got COVID. Leave her alone. It's okay. I said, ring your bell. They'll come and help you. Oh, they will? She knew that, but she forgets. It's okay. But every night we put off our clothes, and we will generally put some jammies on or something, pajamas, whatever you, we won't go any further with that, but generally you lay off your clothes. At night we put off our clothes. So at death we put off our bodies. For the child of God, that's exactly how simple and easy that is until the morning of the resurrection. Amen. And people get all, I'm going to die. I don't want to die. Why don't you want to die? Well, if you're saved, I mean, nobody wants to die in their right mind. Amen. But isn't when you get a wake-up call on death is real, as it is appointed unto men once, O-N-C-E, once to die, and after this the judgment, you're going to die. And so it motivated Peter to set his mind about not the things of fishing. He was a fisherman. He wasn't buying a new pole, a new boat, a new net. He was about fishing for men and telling the brethren and remembering, causing them to remember. Let me say this. The nearness of death makes the apostle diligent in the business of life. What is the business of life for a child of God? To bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the business of in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? To maybe tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we forget. We get busy with the day. We got stuff stacked up to do. Well, I've got more stuff to do than you would. For an old guy, you wouldn't think I would want to do all that. I love motors. I've got three or four motors to rebuild there. I've got an old bush hog there and turned over. I'm welding on that, fixing it up. And I'm going to paint it John Deere green, and I might even put a John Deere decal on it. Now, it's not a John Deere. But these people that come by looking for stuff, they won't know that. I got more stuff I want to do. But you know what I got to do once in a while? On a daily basis. I sit down. I get me a nice hot cup, of bone broth. And
I sip on that and I listen to a message somebody preach. And I just sit there and I say, Lord, and man, I'll get up energized and charged. Say, why? Because they made me remember, it doesn't matter if a 6013 rod runs good on rusty metal or not. There's somebody that needs a gospel track. There's somebody that needs prayer. There's somebody that needs a call. So I'll set my office and I'll make 4 or 5 calls. And I got a guy, he's a friend. He got hurt in a machine shop. A piece of metal come out and hit his eye. I've been corresponding with him. Hey, I'm praying for you, brother. He hadn't said a whole lot. I don't know how bad it is. But you know what? He said, thank you for your concern. Thank you. Listen, there's just a few more things important than your next vacation. So he said, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to cause you to remember what is really important. The nearness of death makes the apostle diligent in the business of life. What is our business? If you were to die tomorrow and you knew it, I realize the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I realize that. But if the doctor should look at you and say, hey, you're gone. Tomorrow you're dead. Tomorrow at this time you're going to be dead. Well, after you got done having a panic attack, what would you do differently today? You say, Brother Phil, that's kind of what's in the lesson today. Somebody said a preacher ought to preach like a dying man to dying men. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And I realize we can't always do that. I realize that. But man, when I got to reading that stuff, and then he exalts the scripture through the whole thing. He doesn't, it's about the word of God. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You say, what things? Where? He wrote it down. That's why we're still reading the epistle 2,000 something years later, and we're still getting the same lesson, feeling the same impact, being stirred by the same Holy Ghost of God. You say, how did he do that? He was diligent to write these things down and to pass them on, and that's what happened. Verse 15. Say, what's it about? It's about the Word of God. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Amen. Amen. So, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, he wasn't into the things of the world. He wasn't into the soothsayers. He wasn't into the card readers. And he says, when we made known unto you the power, there's that word power again, and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now don't forget, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw, and he's one of the men that made the statement, and the Lord had to kind of rebuke him there, settle down, man, this is just for the last days, and he possibly saw Moses and Elijah. Peter was an authority on these things, and he was looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, even at death's door. You know, if you get up every morning and say, hey, I'm looking for the Lord to come back, it will change you. You, if you get up every morning and read your Bible and pray and say, Lord, I'm looking for you. Do you ever just go outside and look up toward the north? Look up toward the north. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great God? Psalms 48, verse 1. And say, Lord, you're on the throne of glory. I'm down here. I can't see you, but I know you're here. Your presence, your spirit, your word tells me so. And lift holy hands toward heaven and say, God, I'm coming home one of these days, but until I get there, I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach, I'm going to sing. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it to bring to remembrance, to stir up the people of God, that they might live for you here. He left us here. He didn't choose angels to do this. He didn't say the seraphims are coming down to preach on earth. He said, I'm going to have men preach the gospel message. And so, what a commission laid to us. What a responsibility. So I'm done with the lesson. It's on remembrance. It's on how he motivates us to remember. And so don't get mad at the preacher if you heard him preach that before and then he's preaching it again. And it might be somebody there just needs to hear it again. And as you have new folks come into the church, he'll have to cover some things over and over again. A pastor's job is sometimes very redundant. But you know, as children of God, we always get something when the Word of God is preached. And I thank God for that. Thank God. God can take the worst preacher on the face of the earth, and I'm one of them, and still use you like he did Balaam's jackass or Peter's rooster. And Peter never heard a clearer message than when that rooster crowed. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thanks for an opportunity to teach your word. It's a good book. Lord, we love it. We ask God, now, especially bless the remainder of our service. Might be someone here that's lost that needs to be saved. Somebody that needs to be encouraged. We pray for the singers and Brother Jeff as he leads in the special singing. We pray for Jeremiah as he prepares to preach and whatever's done there. May it bring thee glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you and good morning.